Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ask Ada Marie. And today we're going to ask her about spirit guides, how you can meet and work with them. Back in the day, most ordinary people didn't know there were spirit guides, much less how to contact and work with them. It was okay to have hunches, but nobody gave our spirit friends credit for the help that they gave us. But Ada Marie, the Golden Oracle, grew up in a family of seers who taught her how to meet and work with her own spirit guides. How amazing is that? Many of us were taught that all the angels in the Bible might watch over us from heaven, but never would they come to earth anymore. Ada Marie's grandmother and great-grandmother introduced her to and taught her how to contact her spirit guides and how to recognize them, reach out to them, and ask for their help. So throughout her long career as seer, healer, and life coach, she's taught hundreds of clients to rely on their spirit friends for guidance and help in their daily lives. If you've ever wondered if you have spirit guides, who they are, and how to reach out to them when you need answers or comfort, here's your chance to ask an expert. So here we go, and I'm so excited to introduce Ada Marie, the star of the show.
Thank you, Mary. Actually, you know, there were many people in Europe, England, France, and Germany, that were connected to the spirits and were connected to spirit guides and were very, very cautious and careful. The most important thing in dealing with your spirit guides or dealing with anyone on the other side is to be gracious and grateful and let them know how much that you appreciate the efforts that they put forth for us. I mean, because...
Mm-hmm.
They do go to a great deal of effort to be able to reach through the veil and reach to somebody, and they have to be careful because they cannot be getting involved in something that is negative or selfish or mean. So when a spirit guide comes to you and offers to assist you, it means only in a constructive, positive manner. There can be no negative energies entering into it. Recently, a few days ago, we had a shooting down in Florida. Many people were killed. And I happened to not be at home. I happened to be in California at the time. And I got about five calls and asked for some help. And so I did. Now, when I send help to those people who have suddenly, automatically, without any thought of leaving their body, left their body, they very often don't know that they're dead. They can see the body. They can, for a certain period of time, about 3 days, they can feel the body. But they are not aware that they are not in the body. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I know that well, yes.
Okay. Because when they've been removed from the body and in some kind of a crisis like that, they sort of wonder. They're kind of lost. So you have to literally explain to them that they have received a new energy, a new body, a beautiful body that is very, very comfortable and easy, and they can do anything they want in that body.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all usually shocked that they can't move anything. They can walk through the wall, but they can't pick up a fork, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, and until they realize that they are out of their physical body and into their beautiful spiritual body and lovely body that's going to take them on to see the wonderful things that God has to offer, they're a little confused, of course, just like we would be. You know, so it took about 11 hours to finally be able to help other people helping them that we felt that we had sent enough perfection for them to be able to move forward, and many of them did move forward. That was the experience of connecting those people that were suddenly shoved out of their body with a spirit guide. And
that's
the spirit guides are there
to
help.
To do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They are there to help. All they have to do is look around, and the spirit guide will be there to assist them. Someone always comes. There's always someone in the light. No matter where you are, there's someone watching over you. You're never alone, because on the other side of the veil, there are many opportunities for spirits to send you a message. You know, like, have you ever got a message through your head when you were doing something else? And that's your spirit guide telling you, you know. You could be driving into town and it says, turn here. I've had that happen many times. So I turn because I know that something up ahead isn't something I want to do. But you become acquainted with them. You must honor them and be sweet and kind and loving. Don't go at them with a mind to get something done. Yeah, just go there with an open heart and a heart filled with whatever, and know, let them help you change that heart feeling, whether it's pain from a death of somebody, whether it's a loss of papers that you can't find and you won't find for 6 months until you let go of them. The minute you let go of those papers, you know where they're going to be? Right there.
I've put things away in a safe place, and I didn't find them until I moved. And so,
right.
But listen,
Ada
Marie, we have someone who I believe is really anxious to ask a question. Is it okay to let them ask a question now?
Yeah, ask what the question is.
Okay, just a second. Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi there.
Were you waiting to ask a question, sir?
If you see me getting a job or anything like that, or a move.
Okay.
That's that kind of question.
Ada Marie, go ahead.
I'm saying, who are we talking to?
Nathaniel.
Nathaniel, good. Now, what is the question?
I was looking for a job and possibly a move with a job, so I'm looking for jobs other places where I am.
Okay. Have you got a pencil and paper?
Do I have a pencil and paper?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Okay, write this down. And I taught these classes in California for 26 years, and here is a wonderful affirmation to get a job.
Uh-huh.
And are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. God, send me a job. Send me a wonderful job in a wonderful way, close to home, with excellent pay. Got it?
Okay.
Now, I want you to write it 30 times. I want you to read it 30 times. And then before you go out to interview for a job, say, I have a job in a wonderful way. And I work hard for wonderful pay, or however you want to say the second one, because that's what you're going to do. Or you can say, I have a good job in a wonderful way. I work with wonderful people for wonderful pay. In other words, you see what you're doing? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the lady just called me. I'd been on another show about a month ago, and the lady just called me. She was laughing. She says, Ada Marie, all three of us girls got a job with that. I said, okay, that's wonderful. So, you know, that's the way you do it. You just have faith, you ask, you be grateful, and thank them for the job right away when you say it. In other words, don't wait till they hire you. Say, thank you, God. Just what I need will show up. Bingo. Does that make good sense?
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
You're very
my
welcome.
My very favorite prayer is I give thanks for the miracle that's happening right now.
Right, because it is a miracle, because a miracle came from God. So you always say thank you. I mean, it just is, there's no other way. I was widowed with 7 kids and worked. One woman with 7 kids and no help. I talked to him every day. And one day my son, who had been married only a few years, called me up and he says, Mother, I want you to stop talking to God because I want to talk to him. I said, well, I don't have to stop. You go right ahead and talk. He'll listen to you. I think he was making fun of me, you know. That's what he was doing.
It sounds like he didn't realize he pretended that that God could only listen to one person at a time.
Well, yeah, to his mother. His mother was taking up all of God's time. I do take up a lot of his time throughout the day. I ask him all kinds of questions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
That's where people are mistaken. They need to ask. You need to ask. I say, okay. And there's a guest in my house right now that's seen this happen, so I can share this. Things were really tight a couple years ago, and I said, okay, Father, I need $10,000. Now, I require $10,000 right away to cover this big catastrophe. Well, when she came back a few days later, she said, what'd you do? I said, I put the money in the bank when I got here. And she said, what? I said, yeah. I said, so the next time you feel you're shorthanded, just say, Father, I require X amount of dollars, and I thank you greatly for that, and I'm delighted to have your help. And it'll come. So she looked at me like I was crazy, so I showed her, yes, I did get it. It came. And actually, whatever you ask for, I ask for perfect health. Now, Mary, I ask for and demand and command perfect health to my mind, my body, and my energy pattern.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I stay able to keep working and working, even though I start at 4 in the morning. I'm sometimes still on the phone. We were on a trip. I was on line every day until 10 o'clock at night. I was so tired when I got home and couldn't see straight. So if you really will work with him, God will work with you. And he has enough energy for the whole world, not just for America, not just for a few of us, but for the whole world. If they would turn to him and ask, they would have it. They just need to ask. And I probably asked, coming home from town today, I wanted to get home in time to do this show. So I had to forgot I had to make 2 stops. So I sent the energy ahead of me that I'd be there. Nobody in line, and I could get right up there. I did the first stop, the second stop. Mm-hmm. I said, there'll be room for me, and all I have to do is jump out of the car and walk right in, and I'll be waited on. And I was. And I got home at 1:30. How do you like that? Now, you
amazing.
Don't think that's a miracle, Mary.
Absolutely.
Well, I was 40 miles away from home. That was a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
my goodness.
You see, it's what you ask for and give thanks for, and truly from your heart know that you are in tune with that master presence, God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And you get what you receive. How do you find a spirit guide? I can tell you very simply. Just say to him, send me someone to guide me, and then keep your mouth shut and keep your thoughts out of your head long enough for them to find the proper, and I'm saying this very sincerely, the proper spirit guide that you are comfortable with and can work with. And a lot of times you wake up in the middle of the night and you will have this, you'll be wide awake and you'll have this sending and it'll be, there is someone there. And say, hi, what's your name? I'd love to have someone to work with. But every person has to do it in their own way, from their own training, from their youth, from whatever they learned as children. or whatever their grandparents. And the sad thing today is the grandparents are not around to help the children. You know, all the, they've shoved the grandparents into homes so they don't see the children, so the children don't grow up with their grandparents. It's a sad thing because our grandparents were there to help us and teach us. And they did, and they were strict, and we behaved. Do you remember that?
Very well. I do. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. So the spirit guides, they don't just come banging on our door and say, "Hey, you need a spirit guide, and I'm just the one you need," right?
No, they don't do that at all. They wait, they wait, they wait until someone calls, and they feel that they're the proper person to be able to give them peace of mind and strength and wisdom and health, and the person will feel comfortable speaking with them. Now, they don't have to speak out loud. Now, let me explain. Spirit guides don't speak out loud. They speak through your mind, right?
Absolutely.
So you don't have to speak out loud, but you must guard your thoughts. You must guard your thoughts that they're on a constructive, positive basis. A lady came home the other day. We were in California. She came home, and she was just stressed to the max and just feeling terrible. And I said to her, I said, go upstairs and lie down, wrap yourself in a white light ball and the violet light of flames of wisdom, and shut your mouth and shut your eyes and just be silent. I will come and get you in 10 minutes. She did. And when I went up and knocked on the door, she thought she'd slept for 2 hours. She said, "I thought you were going to come and get me in 10 minutes. I said, "Is it exactly 10 minutes, dear? It's exactly 10 minutes. She said, "I fell into the most deepest, wonderful sleep. I shut my mouth, and that's the last thing I remember." I said, "Good. So you received something from your teacher, your spirit guide, and you received some rest, you receive some relaxation, you receive some message that was important to you to handle throughout the rest of today." And even and she'd been up since 1 o'clock the night before, and even at 6 o'clock in the evening she was still energetic and comfortable. But she said, I never knew I could do that. I said, every single person can do that. They can lay down. It might be 5 minutes, might be 20 minutes, might be 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. They lay down. If they turn that light, wrap that violet light around them and the white light of protection, you can be sure that they're going to receive energy, strength, wisdom, and a sense of peace. And they can do it in 2 minutes or more. So when you're talking about spirit guides, what you really need to realize is they are always right there. You are never alone. People say, "I'm alone, I'm lonely." How can you be lonely when you have God and you have a spirit guide? How can you be lonely? Just have a little chat with them. Mm-hmm. And you will feel the peace fill your body, and you can be lonely because you're never alone. We're sitting in a room here, a fairly nice room, fairly clean, fairly comfortable, and it's filled with love and light. It's just filled to the brim with love and light. And outside it's 105 degrees, and there is no air conditioning here. But the house is cool, isn't it? Yeah, Rebecca says the house is cool. So, you know, it's a matter of your thinking. If you really want help, you don't be lonely. You don't cry. You simply sit down and say, "I need some help, Father. Send me some help." And bingo, that help will be right there. And it might just be in a way that makes you feel better, or that you think about somebody you love and that thought of that person is joyous for you, even though they're on the other side. If you think of them, they're on the other side. They're going to think of you. That's a given. My grandmother used to say, "Now, you know, your thoughts are things, and they become reality. And if you think you don't have something, you're never going to have it. If you think, that is what I'm going to accomplish, you will accomplish it. You will get it.
Uh-huh.
Nobody is poor. They talk poor. They make themselves poor. That's just a matter of consciousness. But you can be broke, and you can, just like I told her, I said, you can be broke, but you just have to tell him, this is what I require. And he brings it in. If the requirement is met. So how can you be poor? You can only be poor if you think poor. So don't think poor. Thoughts are things. Don't give yourself a negative thought, okay? And your spirit guide will say, okay, okay, if that's what you want to be. And if you say, no, I am commanding these things that I have use for, thank you. And I don't want to go into all the number of things you can command, but you can command anything that you can think of, and it will come. I told, this is a funny thing in this little area. We had three or four people here who needed a new car. Their cars were wore out. Well, this one lady, and she really, I mean, her car was, I worried about her every time she went into Tucson, it's 40 miles and back. And she had her car break down. Now this is how spirit works. Her car overheated right by a dealership. Okay? So the dealership came out, they helped her, and they put her in a new car, and she went home with a different car. Right? Now, that's and then another lady who needed a car, she said to me, I went to go get my hair done, and she said, you know, I'm going to have to get a car. My car just overheats. I said, oh, you'll have a new car. In 10 days, you'll have a car. The next time I went in there, 7 days later, she had a new car. She had an incident where her car wouldn't work. She pulled into she rolled into a car dealership because her car was on a grade. So she rolled into the car dealership, and, of course, everybody came out to see what was wrong. And before she left there, she traded that car in and got a new one. Not brand new, but a good car. And that happened to three or four people here. But they said every time you come to your house when you need something, you say, oh, you'll have it. It'll show up. It shows up. I said, because from my heart, I see that you're worthy of and have the light for that. See, that's the light. Keep your light. Everybody has a light. Keep your light shining. Keep it good. Keep it peaceful. Keep it harmonious. And then things will just begin to come into your lap. I made the mistake one time when the kids were small. I had a nursery, and I had my kids plus about seven or eight more. So I went to bed one night, and I said, all I need is, and I charged $105 a day for the kids from 8 in the morning till they went home. I went to bed one night, and I said, what I need is about 100 kids morning and night. And I can make it. Yeah. I can make it through. The kids, we can get through it within a week. I had 70 of them, and then I got the rest of them. And then I was so busy, I couldn't take kids. It just went around town. Everybody wanted to bring their kids to the nursery, but I was overrun. I mean, I really was overrun. So somebody said to me one day, "Do you have a license?" I said, you want to know something? I never seen a license change a diaper. And the woman looked at me. She said, I guess you're right, but I'd like to leave my little girl. I said, well, what's her name and how old is she and is she potty trained? And that's the things I need to know. And if she's not potty trained, then I'm going to potty train her. I will teach her to walk. I will teach her to count. And I said to the kids in the room, I said, say hello to Tammy. So everybody chorused out. There was about 45 kids there. Everybody chorused out, hello, Tammy. Are you going to stay and play? Well, that was it. But it's a matter of realizing that you can do something and then do it, no matter how scared you are. In fact, the very first time I spoke in public, well, it was the third time, actually, but the first time I actually spoke in public was when Eleanor Roosevelt came to our town, and she was giving a talk, and the senior class was honoring her, and guess who they picked to introduce Eleanor Roosevelt?
Uh-huh.
So I wrote and I wrote and I wrote. I had 6 pages, Mary. I had 6 pages of stuff to say, and I was having a real hard time with it. And Mrs. Roosevelt came over, took the papers out of my hand, and said, "Young lady, you walk out there and you say exactly what you know. That's all you have to do. Your guide will teach you. You will walk out on that stage and introduce me, and I'll be happy to follow you." I'm standing there with my mouth open, and she said, "Now you've got 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, you're going to walk out there, and you're going to say, 'Ladies and gentlemen,' and the rest of it will just come out." And it did. I have never written a speech since. It actually came out of my mouth. She must have did something to me. Because I introduced Mrs. Roosevelt, and I always admired her because she was such a strong woman and she was such a good person. She should have become president when President Roosevelt passed away.
Yeah.
She should have become the president because she knew everything and knew how to take care of it. She was just absolutely a fantastic lady. So she was a lady who taught me how to speak out. And right now,
we needed her in the UN. So
we need her now. We need her now. I'm telling you, the room is filling up with gold. The color gold, golden yellow. It's amazing.
Okay.
So does anybody have a question?
I don't see any light shining yet.
Okay.
I'm just thinking more and more and more about how vitally important it is to us that we realize that we are not alone. And most of us who feel in the middle of the night, we feel alone. And I think that they need to hear from you ways to reach out to spirit help to make them feel safe.
Do you know why they feel alone in the night? It's dark. It's dark. D-A-R-K. It's very dark. And a lot of people feel that they're not protected in the dark because they've been told, you know, don't stay out. Come home. Come in before dark. You have to come in before dark. But nobody ever really explained the dark to them except that there would be some boogeyman out there to scare them.
Mm.
Well, a lot of people, when they get older, they're afraid of the dark because they think they're alone. But I got news for you. There isn't one living person on the face of this earth that don't go to sleep every night with 2 angels guarding them. Two, not one, two. They guard the parent, they guard the children, they guard the household. All you've got to do is ask and say thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all protected. We are fortunate to live in this great nation, and it's an absolute shame that it has been ragged and the kids are not growing in strength today with that guidance. Because there is a source. And as you know, that source has been there through aeons of time. It didn't just come to this planet. It's been in the universe. There are many, many planets that are working off of this same wonderful source. And that source is, for the lack of a better term, is we call it God. Other places call it another name. But they know when they ask for assistance, they receive it. Now, to tell you the truth, I always wanted to build a place with a guest house where I could have people come for retreats, Mary. I started wanting that when I had the nursery, okay, because I saw these poor mothers struggling to survive. And I always wanted to have a place with a nursery. Now, I moved to California in 1961, and I thought, well, I'll build a nursery in California, and I'll take care of children, and I'll have a special nursery. I'll have a house to live in for my children, and I'll have a nursery. That was in 1961. Do you want to know when I got my first nursery?
When?
The very first one I got. The first one I got was in 1975.
I see.
And
when you
I
were
had,
ready for it. Mm-hmm.
Well, I couldn't have it because that's when I, in 72, I was stabbed 26 times and I couldn't even hold a baby. But in 75, I was able to direct two ladies to put a nursery together where I could sit in the nursery to help heal myself.
Uh-huh.
Because whenever you send a healing to somebody, you get one back.
You better believe it. Yes.
Absolutely. If a person
the
has
only
had a heart,
time that doesn't happen is when it comes from ego, when you think you're doing it by yourself without spirit help.
Right. When you think you're doing it, you're lost because he does it. The wonderful thing about the spirit is it doesn't push you. It doesn't push you. You have to ask. See, and most people, instead of asking, they feel sorry for themselves. So if they ask, they would be receiving, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't ask, you can't receive. So if you ask, you will receive. So quit feeling sorry for yourself. Say, okay, Father, you provide this, and I'll do this and this and this. It's a deal. You just have to be grateful. To say thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over again. So remember that the spirit is there. If you're really going to do something that's going to be harmful to you, there's always going to be somebody who's going to say to you, don't do that. There's always going to be some help out there in the ether that's going to say, don't do that. But most of the time, people don't listen.
They do it anyway.
And the consequences are usually not very good, you know, after the fact. But you can always rely on the little voice. And if you try to change somebody or change circumstances or around somebody, you're messing in somebody else's life. Stay away. Let them make their changes. They will make their changes. They're the ones who need to make the change, not you. It's them, you know. You can say... You can say to somebody, don't eat potatoes because they make you sick. But don't force them not to eat the potatoes. Just don't eat the potatoes. They're not good for you. And if they eat the potatoes, of course, they don't feel good. But that's beside the point. The point is that they know they shouldn't eat the potatoes. Because every time they eat them, they don't feel good. Right? I mean, it's just,
they have an allergy or something,
Yeah, right.
Sure.
It's that way with everything. Don't go to that store. Don't drive down that road. Don't do this. Don't do that. And if they pay attention, they're never hurt. But if they should go down that way, in fact, I just saw two new signs on the road where people had gotten into an accident.
Oh, my. Because
they were on the road at the wrong time, probably during the night, most of them. But it doesn't matter. In other words, when the voice tells you don't do this, don't do it. I mean,
sounds reasonable to me.
And if somebody tells you they're homeless, you tell them you're busy. Because how did they get that way? Who did they do something bad to get that way? Because they've done something. Because most people, if they're willing to work, and if they go to an agency, they will find them a way to get a job. I found jobs for more people than you can ever shake a stick at.
I know some very wonderful people who were homeless for a while until they finally were able to see themselves having a place, and almost as soon as they were able to see that that it was possible for them, it happened.
It happened, quite
amazing.
But they had to see it. They, their consciousness, had to see it. One lady said to me one day, I'm buying a house, but the house I want, it's more than I can handle. I said, no, it isn't. Just change your thinking. If you really want it, you'll be happy with it. You'll be able to do it. Want it, just desire it, just work for it, and you will get it. And she did, and she was very happy. Because once she started to make the energy, to build the energy, to make it happen, it happened. So things came out of the woodwork. You know, just this little thing came, and that little thing came, and another thing came, and the next thing you know, she was fine. And what's happening in our country now, the powers that be have almost destroyed us by taking all the jobs out of our country. And so the people are having to change how they work. And I met a man in California who I'd known. He said, I've been out of work for... I was laid off from this particular company 15 years ago. And he said, I went home and I sat down and said to my wife, well, we got to make some changes. They're going to close the company. And she said, well, honey, that's fine. We'll do something different. What do you want to do? And he jokingly said to her, I would like to get a lawnmower and just mow the lawn. Well, she says, you got a pickup truck. Just buy the equipment, mow lawns. And he's still mowing lawns. And he's 80, I think he's 84.
My goodness.
He's still out mowing lawns because that's what he liked to do. He liked to do yard work. That was how he relaxed, and that's what he did. He just went out and got the equipment he needed and dug in the ground and mowed the lawn and watered the flowers. And he had a real big route by the time, well, I didn't know how big his route was, but he was covering a lot of the San Fernando Valley. So that's a big place. And he's 84 and he's still mowing lawns. Of course, he got better equipment than he did then, but that's beside the point. The point is that that was his passion. He enjoyed that, and that's what he went and did. So... And again, I say it's all in your mind. Thoughts are things, and it's your attitude toward it. If you, you know, I started out with a carload of kids and $300 and moved from Montana to Spokane. And I got a job, and I got a house, and I got to work. But my goal was to see that my children graduated from high school and went to college. And I was home last week, and I saw a few of my kids. I got two of them that are doctors, one that's an attorney, one that's, I don't know exactly how to explain what he does, but he's some kind of a therapist. And they all work. And I said to myself, I said, that $300 in that old Chevy took us a long way, a long way. worked. So... you can do it. You just have to know. If you have a knowing, you know you can do it. And all the way where we stopped in Spokane to get something to eat, and some water and some crackers and some bananas, and I walked in their store and I said to the lady, do you know anybody who's hiring around here? And she said, yeah, there's a new outfit right around the corner. They're hiring. So we took our crackers and we took our milk and we took our bananas, and we went around the corner, and when the man showed up at the place, I said, are you hiring? And he looked down at me, and he says, what can you do? I said, anything you can teach me, I can do it. And he hired me. And then I went down the street, and I said, okay, God, we got to live on this street because I can walk back and forth to work. And the house on the corner was empty. The people had moved to California and emptied their house. They wanted to sell it. So I got the phone number, and I said, I don't want to buy it. I just want to rent it. What would you rent it for? He said, I'd have to have $45 a month. I said, you got it. You got it. Tell me where to send it. And by noon that day, we had found a house to live in. Didn't have any furniture, didn't have a stove, didn't have a refrigerator, didn't have nothing. It was empty. But it didn't matter. We had blankets and pillows, you know. We just started over. So that's what it is. It's a state of mind. I know I can. I know I can. The little train said, I know I can. I know I can. And you can. And that's what people have. And their spirit guides are there to help them. They are there all the way to town. I said, all the way. It was only 280 miles. All the way. I said, okay, Father, now I'm going to have a job when I hit town. I'm going to have a house for these kids. I'm going to have us close by school so they can go to school close so I don't have to drive. I got it all. And I got the job. And
mm-hmm.
I was there for 12 years. Believe it or not, I sold coin-operated Speed Queen stores for Speed Queen washers and dryers and hymns for Speed Queen coin-operated.
Yeah, the laundromat kind of things.
That's right, and I wished I could have bought one, because if I could have bought one, honey, believe me, I'd be rich today.
Uh-huh.
When they're very good stores. They're very good stores.
Uh-huh.
So, anyway...
Uh-huh.
Now, tell me what you think. Tell me,
yes?
Mary, I want you to tell me what you think. You have been through the same kind of things. I'm just iterating a few of these little experiences. What do you think when you look at yourself in the mirror? What do you think of what we've been through? We've been beaten. We've been stabbed. We've been shot. All these things have happened. But here we are today, healthy, happy, able to work, and really loving people. Now, what do you think?
Well, I think I have a little saying that I pull out every time I start to get a bit frantic, and that saying is, I'm always richer than I think I am. And then I look in the mirror and I think, my age is just a dumb number. I feel better now than I did when I was 30, and I am happy with the way I feel and the way I live my life.
Well, my great grandma said, pick an age you like and keep it. And I've been 19 years old, more than 19 years. And
uh-huh.
every once in a while, somebody will say to me, how old are you? And I'll say, well, I'm 19. How old are you? And they laugh, but they're done. You know, who cares? Who cares what the numbers are if you're healthy? It matters.
You know, there was a baseball player. His name just escapes me right now. He was in the Black League, and he was born a slave.
Well,
and so nobody knew how old he was, and so somebody was interviewing him once, because it was really famous. He was one of the top players in the United States, but that was when black athletes couldn't play in the big leagues, you know. But somebody
mm-hmm.
said to him, doesn't it bother you not knowing how old you are? And he looked at him and he says, no. He says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you was?
Right. My kids never knew how old I was until I got a computer. Somebody put my age on the computer.
Oh, that's funny.
I couldn't believe it. A lady
that's
called me up.
Hysterical.
She said, I didn't know you were in your 80s. I said, I'm not. Am I? Well, that's what it says on the computer.
Yeah.
I said, as far as I know, I'm 19. I've been 19 a long time.
There you go. Well, I'm more like 35. I kind of like to be a little sophisticated.
Well, I like older people, you know. I'm very fond of older people. I get along well with them. So... that's okay.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good.
Yes.
Good. So the spirit guides, what have they taught you in your life? What have you learned from spirit guides that no one else could teach you?
It's real simple, Mary. I've learned to listen. Because People come to me all the time, and you have no idea the stories I hear and the things that people are suffering with because nobody taught them how to let go of them. But I learned to listen, and I listen to everybody very carefully. And whether they know it or not, I send the energy to help them raise their vibration so those things disappear and good things fill that space.
Mm-hmm.
See? A lady wanted to move one day, and she didn't have a truck. And I said, that's okay. You find a place to move, and we'll move. So she said, well, what am I going to do with all this stuff? I said, take it with you. You can take it with you. So my brother and his friend, two of them, had big GMC pickups. I mean, you know. So I said, Jim, what are you doing on Saturday? And my brother, I said, Ed, what are you doing? He said, well, we're going to go out hunting. I said, no, you're not. The morning you're going to be moving furniture. Oh, we are? Yes.
Okay.
So that morning I had her packed out, and they came, and in three truckload loads they moved everything for her and got everything stood up, the beds put up and everything, and then they said, now we're going hunting, and you're going to cook dinner when we get back. So they came back with five pheasants dressed and clean.
Oh, my.
My gosh,
oh
was
my.
That delicious. Oh, my gosh, that was delicious. So, and I had a friend here who needed to move. We ended up with four pickups to move her. We moved her in less than an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, and whenever there's a need, I always go to the Father and say, okay, Father, now let's make this easy. This is the requirements. And they show up. And you get those requirements. But, you know, everybody can do it. They just have to have the faith and the ability to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that's what God wants, is to be appreciated. And wants that appreciation to go out from Him. And He does give you things that help you appreciate. So that's what happens.
It seems to me it isn't so much that God needs appreciation. I think he needs to know that we appreciate. That's the secret, the big
secret. But we have to appreciate every single day. At the end of the day, I say, okay, God, now I'm going to go to sleep. You take over. I'll do whatever you need me to do in the morning. And I go to sleep. I shut my mouth, I shut my eyes, and I'm asleep. That fast. I have no problem. I don't take anything to bed with me because I already gave it to Him. I just go to bed.
That's good.
You know, people come, they come with big problems, cancer, all kinds of crap. They sit down in the chair, and I'm sitting down in front of them looking at them. And they're talking and talking and talking. The time goes and goes and goes. And every once in a while I ask a question. So pretty soon when they get up, I said, is that it? Is that enough? Well, yeah, you changed my life in 1 hour. They walk away. That happens a lot. Only because they have got their answer. Well, they were talking. I didn't give it to them. They think I did, but I didn't do it at all. They talked their way out of their dilemma. That's what they did. They talked their way out of it.
How often we have people who will interrupt us and not let us finish what our thought. And that is a very sad thing.
Well, usually it's people who are nervous, Mary. It's people who are nervous. They're stressed. Their nerves are shattered. That's why they do it. They want to be heard because they just have to say something. I said, there's a group of us girls who get together, and I'll just sit and listen to everybody talking. And finally, one lady said to her friend, she said, Ada doesn't say anything. But I didn't need to say anything. Everybody else was talking. I could just listen.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't have to say anything because they were answering everything. I didn't need to answer anything. So I didn't.
You know, earlier in the show, you mentioned that the people in Europe were much more involved and aware of spirit guides than we are here. I grew up, as you know, in southern Illinois, in the middle of the Bible Belt, and as far as they were concerned, all of the spirits were locked into the Bible. None of them could get out. None of them could do anything. All of the miracles were done and over with. You shut the Bible, and that's the end of the miracles. And then I went to England, and I found, my goodness, there were spiritual churches on every few blocks. And I'm thinking, my goodness, spiritualism basically was born in America, you know, in those two lovely ladies with the table thumping and things like that. And now it is almost outlawed in America. It was for a long time. It's getting back into power again. But it still has flourished the whole time in England. I haven't been to all of Europe. I only went to England. But
yeah.
I found it was just ordinary. I mean, healers are they go and work in the hospitals in London, you know.
Right. So, but see, everybody, the church is a real problem because everybody has to go to church. Well, let me tell you something: the church has to be in your heart. And you're there every day, and you better answer to that heart.
And you better be grateful
that that heart is healthy, and you better be grateful that you even got a damn heart. So that's where the church is. It's in your heart. Now, I happen to have a nice little rock church here that's built in the 1700s, and I love to go. And I get to go about once every 3 or 4 months because my husband always has something we have to do on Sunday because he was raised in a church, and he's had all he can stand. He don't want any more. But, you know, every morning I spend my 1 hour with God before I start sending the healings between 4 and 5:30 about. I spend that time in total silence receiving whatever he has to give me. And believe me, if you can sit in the silence with no sound and no thought in your head, keep the thoughts out, keep your mouth shut, keep your eyes shut, and go into that silence, you receive all kinds of information, and you are able to give all kinds of help without the person even knowing you're helping them. They don't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
A lady called this morning going in for a stress test. I said, oh, your stress test is going to turn out perfect. When I got home, there was a message. I don't know how you know that, but yes, it did turn out perfect. So, see, but I sent the energy ahead before she ever got to the hospital.
Mm-hmm. You think because your great grandmother was in the court of England working as a seer, do you think that made a difference? Did she teach you anything special about spirit guides and the way to contact them?
The special thing was, and I keep saying it over and over and it just passes by, the special thing was the silence, which she was teaching us kids. Silence, silence, silence. Go into the, stop the thinking. Stop the thinking. Everybody's given to dumb thinking and they need to quit. silence your mind so you can receive. That's how you receive, is being silent. In your mind, you get your mind silent. And she used aluminum foil or a shiny aluminum-colored thing. And she'd say, you look at that until it disappears in your mind, and your mind will be quiet. And it's easy. See, that's the secret of getting in touch with anybody on the other side. Just get your mind empty and be silent and be quiet and get in a space where it doesn't matter if somebody's sawing wood outside. It don't mean nothing to you. You are in your silent place.
Mm-hmm.
And if
when I take people into other lifetimes, I tell them that any sounds will be something that they can ride on and float deeper and deeper into their concentration.
Right.
So that instead of a distraction, it will be a carrier to float them deeper into
right.
their concentration.
But see, I quit doing past life regressions because people started to try to relive the damn thing, and I thought, that's ridiculous. You got to go forward.
Oh, those people that are convinced that they used to be an emperor or something.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So
how many Cleopatras did you meet? How many people that thought they were Cleopatra or Napoleon? You know.
And Caesar. Caesar Augustus.
Oh yeah, very good.
There's a whole bunch of them running around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's amazing. Do you know
the most go ahead.
What time is it?
Oh.
We've got to say goodbye, Mary, but
we've got about 2.5 minutes. And I want to give people a chance to get in touch with you.
Oh, well, I'm AdaMarie@thegoldenoracle.com. AdaMarie@thegoldenoracle.com, or my name of my site is The Golden Oracle. Now, my phone number, and you can call between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., 520-896-9510. And when you call, leave a message and tell me where you're at. I will call you back. But you got to tell me what state you're in or what country you're in so that I know that I'm not calling you up in the middle of the night.
Uh-huh. Now that's
because that's been happening. People,
yeah.
People leave their name and phone number, but they don't tell me they live in Dallas, Texas. So here I am calling them up, you know, at the wrong time of day.
Right. Well, now, is that 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Arizona time? Or,
Arizona time.
Which is Pacific time now. During the
well, summer. Right now we're on Pacific time. We are. But we don't change our time. So when time changes, we'll be on Colorado time.
Got it.
The retreat, when people come for a retreat here, I always tell them to specify to me where they're coming from so that I can kind of figure out what their food choices are, you know? It
uh-huh.
helps.
Because
sure. a retreat uh-huh. includes their lodging and their food all the time they're here and their trip to the airport and back.
Uh-huh.
So they get all of that in the retreat. Plus the work with them to help them to change, and it's changed many lives. When we were in California, I worked with many people in show business and singing and all that stuff, and
mm-hmm.
we have some big successes out there, and that's a wonderful thing. But they got the same thing I'm telling you today. You have to decide what you're going to do and do it. Whatever it takes to get it done, do it.
And that brings us right to the point where we need to say love and light. May it go with you wherever you are.
And bless you. Bless you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.